I'd like to welcome everybody out to our Wednesday night services. I wanted to give thanks for this opportunity to speak with you this evening and the prayers on my behalf. This evening, I wanted to discuss with you about an instance in Luke chapter 22. We will look into these series of verses and do a deep dive into them and look at its applications. So in Luke 22, verses 35 through 38 says, "And he said unto them, When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said nothing. Then said he unto them, But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, we have two swords. And he said unto them, It is enough." To get some context to these verses, Jesus and his disciples are in Jerusalem. Jesus had entered into the city in Luke chapter 19. By this point, Jesus had already been there 4 or 5 days teaching in the synagogue. The chief priests are already conspiring to kill him in this time period, and Satan had entered into Judas Iscariot. The Passover meal was prepared in an upper room, and Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. This is just after Jesus had foretold of Peter's denial of him. There's a buildup to this point when Jesus asked them if they were in need when they were sent with nothing. Up until this point, the disciples of Christ were not in need of anything because Jesus was there with them, protecting and providing for them. Here in verse 35, Jesus is recalling a moment when he had sent them out to preach to the kingdom and to heal the sick. He is referring back to Luke 9, verses 1 through 5, saying, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, Take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, nor neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them." Here, Jesus is calling them together to give them power and authority to be able to cure and cleanse people. They are given extraordinary powers to help those who are in need. The disciples were given a mission and given the tools needed to go forth and spread the gospel everywhere they went. In doing this, they were sent with barely the shirts on their back and shoes on their feet. Even at its furthest points, the country of Israel is roughly 150 miles. From Lubbock to Dumas, Texas, it is 177 miles. That would be around 4 days of nonstop walking from here to Dumas. In that 4 days, do you think you would be in need of food, water, and a place to sleep? There is no time frame given, but in Luke chapter 9, verse 10, the disciples come together and tell Jesus what they had done. Best guesses are around a few days or weeks. The disciples were out in the kingdom preaching with only the clothes that they had on. Looking back at Luke 22, verse 35, Jesus is asking them if they ever lacked anything on their mission that he sent them on. The disciples answered back and said that they were not in need of anything. So why did Jesus send them out into the kingdom to preach the gospel, to heal the sick and possessed with only the clothes that they had on? Jesus did this so that they could learn how to depend on God and trust in the mission that was before them. They did not know where they were going to sleep, eat, or even get water, but all of that was provided for them through their faith and dependence on God. Jesus was there for their protection. In Matthew 10 and verse 16 says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep into the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Here, Jesus explains to them that he sent them into the kingdom like sheep, vulnerable and easy to overpower. He sends them in the midst of wolves, meaning that they face dangerous and hostile environments. They were to be wise as a serpent, meaning to use discernment and strategy to avoid unnecessary traps. They were to be sharp and observant. They were to be wise as a snake, but harmless as a dove, meaning they were to be gentle, pure, and not act out or retaliate. When facing hostility on their mission, they were to be wise, vigilant, and cautious, but also innocent, pure, and upright. But then, as we get to verse 36 in Luke chapter 22, we see a shift happening. In Luke 22, 36 says, "And he said unto them, But now he that hath purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." We now see that there is a shift in the ministry coming. Now physical items are needed as they go forth into the kingdom. Remember, up until this point, the disciples were following Jesus, who was there with them in body and in spirit. Everywhere the disciples went, they were given provision and safety. Now Jesus is telling them that if you have these items, keep them because you will be in need of them. A purse is defined here as a bag, G905, that would hold money or other valuable items that someone would keep on themselves. A scrip is also a bag or pouch that would carry provisions like food, money, or other necessities on one's journey. But then Jesus tells them that if you do not have a sword, to sell your garment and buy one. A garment is literally their clothing that they wore during this time. It is a close robe or raiment that they have to put over themselves. A sword in this time would be considered a dagger, knife, or dirk. This is a small blade, roughly maxing out at 16 to 18 inches in length and designed for piercing. So why is Jesus telling his disciples that they should sell their clothing for a weapon designed for piercing? A garment's cost would be around several weeks or a month's worth of wages, depending on the quality of the garment. These would be made of wool and considered a long-term investment for the lower class. In modern-day monetary value, this would be around $500 to $1,500 worth. A sword during Jesus' time would range from a few days to a week's worth of wages, easily affordable if one were to sell his garment. So we know that it is affordable in those days, but still the question remains, why would one need this item with them? One can argue that a sword is a tool both for defending oneself or used for cutting and preparing food or fabricating items. But Jesus specifically calls for a sword, a weapon carried by soldiers during this time. The answer comes in the following verse in Luke 22, verse 37, that says, "For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end." Here, Jesus is referencing back to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53, verse 12, saying, "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." So what was the prophet Isaiah talking about in this verse? In this chapter, Isaiah is talking about the coming Messiah who would bear our griefs, carry our sorrows, and be numbered with the transgressors. Here Isaiah is talking about how Jesus would suffer because of our sins, how he should make intercession for the transgressor. These transgressors are you and I, and everyone in the world who has ever lived. So why does Jesus make mention of this in Luke chapter 22? Throughout all the Gospels, every single account gives an instance when Jesus is foretelling of his death to come. How he must suffer at the hands of the chief priests and be put to death to fulfill the prophecies that were foretold. Jesus is telling his disciples here that his physical presence is not going to be with them much longer. He quotes from Isaiah on what must happen to him. And Luke 22, verse 38 says, "And they said, Lord, here are two swords. And he said unto them, It is enough." Excuse me. Here in these verses, the disciples bring to Christ two swords that they have with them. There are many translations of this verse, but there are two different paths that are interpreted. The first is that Jesus is saying that this amount of swords is enough, and the second is interpreted as ending the conversation. So first, let's look at the interpretation of Jesus as if Jesus is referring to amount here in this verse. Back in Luke 22, verse 36, Jesus says, "He that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." As Christ is telling them why they will need these items and tools, the disciples quickly gather the weapons to show Christ what they have. In diving into the Greek words, "it is G2076, meaning he or she is, also, and they are. The word enough is G2425 and means competent, that is ample, or fit, good, great, large, long, sufficient, or worthy." So in looking at the Strong's definitions, Jesus is literally saying that this amount will suffice or is good. But does that mean that Jesus is calling for his disciples to resort to violence? Carrying a sword and being seen with it means that you are ready to defend or attack. So what about the other interpretation of what Jesus says here in verse 38? As Jesus is telling his disciples why they are needing these items, they are quick to show him what they have on hand. This is similar to telling your child not to run into the street as they are two strides away from you running to the road to catch the ice cream truck. They missed the reasoning of why they needed to stay by your side. The disciples were quick to show their shiny sharp swords to show that they did it right and are ready. No wonder people would be quick to assume that this is what Jesus was meaning in this verse. Either way, Jesus is saying here that the two swords would be enough until he has fulfilled the prophecies. So how does this set of verses apply to us today? How can we take from this point in Luke and apply it to our Christian walk? We can see that Jesus recalls from their mission in verse 35 that they were sent out into the kingdom to preach the gospel, that they lacked nothing. We can take from this our past journeys when we were building our trust in God. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto thine own understanding, and in all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." We can learn from the past by seeing how God has worked in our lives. For example, looking back now at almost 4 years of marriage to a wonderful woman, and all I can think is, wow, how blessed am I that I could live such a life. How much I can look back and see how my relationship with God has grown. We all have our stories that we can reflect back on and see how we have grown or how we could grow even more. In building this reliance, we must not lean on our own understandings, meaning we cannot rely on ourselves. We must put our reliance on God, who will direct our paths just as he did for the disciples in Luke chapter 9. There is one thing that is promised to us, and that is living in this world is going to come with hardship. In John 15, verses 18 through 22 says, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they do not know him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. In this world, we will face many hardships and persecution. We are very blessed to live in a nation that we can openly worship and relatively when and relatively wherever we want. There are also those in the world that will risk their lives to worship God. Either way, when we are followers of Christ, we are no longer of this world or follow its ways, and there would be those that hate us for it. Christ has come and shown the world that there is sin all over their lives and nowhere, and now there is no way to hide it. Yes, you can hide it from man physically, but God will always know. Through this, we must be prepared to overcome this hardship by having the tools that we are able to get. Yes, today, we do not need to carry a bag with our food wherever we go. We have bank accounts that hold the majority of our money, and we live in relatively safe areas. In Luke 22, verse 36, this is a call to be prepared and not an application towards violence. Some may argue that in verse 36, that this might be referring to a metaphorical sword rather than a physical one. We have an example of a metaphorical sword in Ephesians 6, verse 17, saying, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." In this example, the sword is symbolized as the Word of God. The Word of God is the divine inspiration that we have with us today in our Bibles. Jesus also was also the Word made into flesh in John 1, verse 14, revealing God's ultimate message. But looking deeper into verse 38, we have defined that when Jesus says it is enough, he was referring to the mount shown to him. Regardless of if this sword was meant to be metaphorical or spiritual, we are given a tool and it has a purpose. A sword is a weapon that was meant for offensive and defensive tactics. It is also a sword that is used for cutting or carving items like food or wood. We must also know that it is not a call to violence. This is not a verse we can use to justify evil in the world. We have at our disposal to use the Word of God and the ability to defend ourselves and others from evil. The application of verse 37, therefore, foretells of what Jesus must face. He is showing here how he must fulfill the prophecies that were told in the book of Isaiah. By giving his body and soul for the whole world so that we may have a chance of salvation. Jesus is telling his disciples that through this preparedness, they will be without him there to provide physically, to provide and protect physically. Just as we are here today, Jesus has ascended to the right hand of the throne of God. He is not here physically with us, so we must also be prepared to face hardship and persecution in this world. We can also have confidence in God's word because what it says is what has happened. In John 14, 27 through 29 says, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe." Jesus told of his death so that when it was come to pass, his followers would believe in him. Peace would be given to Christ's followers, a peace not of this world that is given. That through chaos and tribulation, we will still be able to have spiritual peace. And through Christ's death, he is exalted and the Holy Spirit is with us today. In Luke 22, verse 38 says, "And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough." In verse 38, we We have confirmed that Jesus is not calling them to violence, but preparedness for tribulation and hardship. When we place our faith in the Lord, we are granted spiritual peace through these chaotic times. If we become fixated on the right to protect ourselves or disregard what God's word says, we will decay our spiritual lives. When that happens, we are vulnerable to deception, spiritually weak, and lost. Yes, we should be able to protect the innocent from the evil in this world, but violence should not be the first step in stopping it. In James 4, verses 7 and 8 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." When we submit to God, he also comes to us. When others see how God is in us, others may listen to his calling. When we submit to God, the devil flees from us. In 1 Peter 4 and 10 says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." As we have been gifted spiritually, we should be stewards first to others so that they might be able to receive the same gift of salvation. In being a steward of God, we must first be prepared to do the work that is in the kingdom. We must do this by daily study of God's word, by growing in our relationship with God, being with the family you see here, helping grow one another. So as we come to a close this evening, how are you prepared to take on hardship and persecution in this world? Are you willing to give God everything, even your life, or are you spiritually lacking? As we close, we hold an invitation for those who are seeking that relationship with God, those who see that need to change their ways and follow after Christ. We are prepared to meet those needs through your confession, repentance, and baptism to start your walk with Christ. We also hold an invitation open for those who are struggling right now through their Christian walk. We stand ready to assist you in any way. We ask that you come sit on the front row as we stand and sing the invitation song that's been selected.